I call the meeting of the Veterans Finance and Policy Division to order. First off, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next up is the minutes. Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Chair. To the minutes, I do have an amendment to the minutes. I believe it's, as much as we love Rob, I believe it's Bob Detmer.
Okay.
So I would move the minutes with that change, Mr. Chair.
I have a son named Rob.
And any discussion? Any discussion of the minutes?
Oh, sir.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. All right, today we're going to hear a few bills. Apologize for the room change, and Owen is sending a text over to the Commerce CA to inform anybody that might be over in Capital 120 that they might want to come over here and watch what we have going on. So that'll be happening, but in the interest of time, we'll still be getting going. So the first bill up today is House File 204, Representative Detmer. Representative Detmer has 204 and 205. Well, he'll stay up there for both of them. And just so you guys know, we are juggling things around because when Representative Flesh comes with his bill, he will have somebody on a Skype or long-distance phone call or something that we got to do, a person that will be testifying that is... Is she over in Iraq? Is that what she's at on?
Kuwait.
Okay. So, anyway, Representative Detmer, House File 204.
And, Mr. Chair, where do we go from here? House File 204.
Let me look at my cheat sheet, Mr. Representative Detmer. So, Representative Detmer moves House File 204 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and committee members, to save time for 204, 205, they kind of support each other, and we'll have all of our testimony done during 204. What 204, if you look in your packet, House File 204 eliminates the 8-year limit on spousal benefit for disabled veterans, homestead exclusion. Under current law, the spouse is eligible for veterans who have died can continue to receive the exclusion for 8 additional years or until they remarry or sell the property. House File 204 eliminates the 8-year limit. However, if the spouse remarries or sells the property, there's no longer eligibility in the exclusion. This is something we've been working on for several years. When I first came to the legislature, the exclusion was for 2 years. The legislature then we passed it to include 5 years, and the current law, I think around 4 years ago, we got it up to 8 years. And what we want to be able to do is just get rid of the 8-year exclusion and just make it indefinite, as long as they live in the house and not remarry. So with that, and also the DAV has been a big supporter of this. Also, the different military organizations, the Commander's Task Force, there's nine organizations that are chartered by the federal government that are here in Minnesota. They support this legislation. But I'd like to turn it over to Trent Diltz from the DAV.
Welcome, Mr. Diltz. Please identify yourself for the tape and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Trent Diltz. I'm the Legislative Director for the Disabled American Veterans Department of Minnesota. Otherwise known as the property tax guy. We've been working on this one here for 4 years and excited to do it this time with the support of the county. I know there was a letter sent to the committee and excited to be moving forward together on this. Today, Mr. Chair, we do have 3 surviving spouses directly impacted by this. And as much as I like to hear myself speak, I think they can probably speak to this even better. So I'd like to have them come up and briefly address this. First would be Lori Hayes.
welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record, and you can proceed. Thank you.
Lori Hayes. I just basically came today because I'm 4 years into the program and getting help with my income or my property tax, and I would just like you guys to know the effect it would have on me. My husband served in Vietnam. He passed away in 2014 due to illnesses from the war. And the amount of money that his illness and injuries have caused us was great. When he became ill, he ended up retiring from his job. We ended up pulling his 401k to sustain our lifestyle, and we had young children at the time. So that part of our retirement was gone. We lost half of it to taxes and whatnot, but the rest we used to live off until he became 100% disabled, and he was getting money from the VA for that. When he passed, my lifestyle changed quite a bit. I lost approximately 60% of our income when he passed away, and there's so many things that Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
That's okay. Just take your time.
Okay. I ended up losing my career because of the time off I would have to take from work. And most of that was without pay because I'd used all my sick leave I had available. And we had young children at home. When they would have doctor's appointments or something, I couldn't always rely on my husband to do that. He suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, and so I would have to take time off for that, whereas if you have two spouses that are working, you kind of share that responsibility, but we couldn't do that. And I did end up losing my career, and I worked in various jobs, but was let go from a few due to the fact I was missing so much time. And that affected our insurance, our health insurance, our dental insurance. Everything gets affected by that. If this were to continue for the property taxes, it would benefit me personally. I'm currently living in the house that Bob and I raised our kids in. And it's difficult even with this tax break that I get because I have to do all the upkeep. I have to do things that my husband used to do. I have to hire somebody to come in and do those kind of things, as I don't know how to do them. So, you know, that's another expense. I was his caregiver for many, many years, uncompensated. Okay. I think that's all. Am I doing okay?
You're fine.
Okay. Sorry. And I just think that's all. I would, if this were to continue and I would get that tax break, I would sell my house and move into a smaller place. I just don't need that big of a place anymore.
Any questions from the committee?
And Mr. Chair, she just spoke about selling the place that she, that would be House File 205 that we're going to be discussing too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ma'am. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
I'm Diane Bowman.
Welcome.
Well, it will be 2 years on Saturday when my husband passed. I have been his caregiver for, well, a lot of years. We would have been married 50 years in August. I guess this, we really would like to have this extended over 8 years. The property taxes, that would help me greatly. I still live in my own home. have to hire things done. And thank you for your support.
Well, thank you for coming, ma'am. And any questions from anybody? We really appreciate it. Welcome, ma'am. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair, committee members, and Mr. Detmer and Eklund, thank you for the bill. My name is Laurie Pekarik. You're going to have to excuse me. I'm not used to public speaking, so I'm going to use my crib sheet if you
don't
mind.
You're just fine, ma'am. We all do that. I had to check my cheat sheet at the start of the committee hearing. So.
Okay. I'm the surviving spouse of a 22-year regular Army veteran. He had a number of duty stations in Germany, two tours in Vietnam, Indochina. And when he retired, he was diagnosed with PTSD. I left my career early to be at home as an unpaid caregiver because of his needs associated with his 100% disability on his retirement. I'm here to support the passage of both 204 and 205. I'm presently in the eighth year of the eight-year program. My income obviously was dramatically reduced, significantly reduced when he passed away. I'm now living on less than 30% of what our income was prior to his death. When I found out about coming to this hearing today, I started doing a little research. Because my husband took care of all of our family financial matters, I had no idea prior to the passage of the original bill allowing him 8 years on this property tax exclusion. I contacted my county assessor's office and asked if I were on the property tax rolls what my taxes would be. I immediately became up close and personal with my calculator and determined that there is no way, excuse the non-filtered expression, there is no way on God's green earth that I can afford to pay property taxes should this bill not pass. What's going to happen to me? I've been in our family home for 46 years. I'm going to lose that house for delinquent property taxes. Please consider passing this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate you coming in. Sam Detmer, is there any other testifiers?
And Mr. Diltz would like to speak, and then also Jerry Kaiser would like to have the two words.
Okay. Mr. Dilks, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is something that the DAV we've been working on and had as our top priority for the last 5 years that I've been involved with it. Unfortunately, over that time, Lori is not alone. Each year that we've failed to remove this eight-year limit, somebody like her has had a similar experience. It is clearly our number one priority. I've traveled all across the state, held town halls for everything from 12 to 100 people in Chisholm, in Rochester, and anywhere that they would let me come in and speak for a little bit, and it is a clear top priority to help out these surviving spouses. 205 does something unique. Right now we view this as a continuation of the veterans benefit that goes on to the surviving spouse. And I was asked early on if I realized what this does, and I do realize it creates a unique benefit for the surviving spouses who give so much, for the ones who leave their careers early, who see over a 60% drop in their income, who are serve as uncompensated caregivers. There is no way for any caregiver before 9/11 to be compensated by the VA, who save the taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars each year that they keep their veteran in their home versus over a state or federally funded facility. And then these people we thank so much, when we look at the benefits that we offer, it doesn't reflect the sacrifice and the dedication that they've made to our veterans. I'm hopeful that this can be the year. Like I say, we've got the Unified, we've got the Minnesota Association of Counties supportive of this so that we can get this done and move on to some other pressing issues for our veterans. So I thank you, Mr. Chair. I thank Representative Detmer for his work on this, and I look forward to 19 being the year we get this done for them.
Thank you, Mr. Dilks. Mr. Kreiser, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, gentlemen and ladies, Chair. My name is Jerry Kreiser. I'm the chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council. We have 30 organizations, medium and small, that support this wholeheartedly. We have been on with, along with the Commander's Task Force and the County Veteran Service Officers. This is certainly very much needed. To these three ladies, couldn't say it any better than anything I could say. The cost to the counties is minimal compared to the benefits that they're giving these families. I thank you for your time and any questions that you'd like.
Thank you, Mr. Kreiser. Is there any other testimony, Mr. Representative Detmer? Anybody else from the audience that'd like to testify on this bill, either for or against? Questions from the committee members? All right. Well, Representative Detmer removes. Do you have final words, Representative Detmer?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll probably have my final words on 205. Okay. But again, I renew my motion that to move this on to the Committee on Taxes.
All right. Representative Detmer renews his motion that House File 204 be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Taxes. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Motion carries. Representative Detmer moves that House File 205 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Taxes. Representative Detmer, you can please proceed on House File 205.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This will be quick. House File 205 makes three changes in the Disabled Veterans Homestead Exclusion. First, the bill moves the application deadline from July 1 to December 15th. Second, the bill removes the exclusion of properties that are sold on non-qualifying owners so that the new owners will not receive the benefit. That's something we discussed pretty intensely because once when you leave that property, the new owner would have got those same benefits even if they were not a veteran. So we needed to take care of that part of the bill. And lastly, the bill would allow the spouse of the deceased veteran to transfer the exclusion to a new property, provided that the new property has market value less than or equal to the value of the original property. And the spouse would be limited to the one such transfer of the exclusion. And this is important because many times a surviving spouse could be on a farm or they could be in a large home and so forth, and the county supports this also, where it would put the higher price property back on the tax rolls. So that's House File 205, Mr. Chair, and hopefully we can get this through at the same time.
All right. Thank you, Representative Detmer. Do you have any testifiers on House File 205?
We have. Our testifiers was with 204.
Okay.
So. Thank you.
Sounds good. They did a fine job, too. So is there anybody in the audience that'd like to testify on for or against this bill? Come on up, sir. Please identify yourself for the record and you can proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Detmer. My name is Andrew Peters. I'm with the American Legion. I'm currently legislative chair for District 1. I want to feed off an earlier testifier. I just want to kind of reiterate the message. I'm for both of these bills very strongly. when I was a two-term elected official, when I was running for campaign, I walked into a elderly widow's home, lived in the house 75 years. She was shocked that an elected official was campaigning because she never saw one. And I says, what are your issues? She broke down and said, I've lived in this house all my life. All the family members are here. And I don't know what to do. Social Security is very small. When I get my property tax bill, I get my tax bill, I get my insurance costs, I have $10 left to spend for 30 days either to buy a tank of gas or a bag of groceries. And but as an elected official, as you all know, when you raise property taxes, insurance spiral upward at the same rate. And so by raising taxes, you are going to force more and more people out of their homes and really depress the housing market. So I urge you to really adopt these two bills, because when I walked away from my house, I, as a Vietnam veteran, I broke down. I did not know how to answer. I said, I'll reach out to veterans organizations. And does that mean I'm done? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I apologize for that. We do have a call coming in for another bill coming up, so let's try to figure out how to get that taken care of.
And with that, Mr. Chair, I renew my motion if there's no questions.
Yes, this is me.
Hi, we're on another bill right now.
Let's hold up for just a minute.
Yeah.
All
right, thank you.
All right, Representative Detmer, you renew your motion that House File 205 be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Taxes?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, committee members and Mr. Chair, this is the number one priority for the U of ALC and the Commander's Task Force and for the different military organizations across the state. So thank you for hearing the bill, and hope we can get this done this year.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Representative Detmer. Representative Detmer renews his motion that House File 205 be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Taxes. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Thank you, Representative Detmer. Next up, we will call on Representative Lisgard and Representative Fabian.
Ms. Matthew?
Yeah.
Representative Blesch isn't down here just yet, so we're going to go with another bill. We will let you know as soon as we can.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thank you.
The chair moves that House File 826 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the General Register. There is an amendment to the bill. The chair offers the H826A1 amendment. Representatives Lisgard or Fabian, would you like to speak to the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What the amendment does, the A1 amendment, is on page 2 of the bill. The main thing here is that what it does, 2.20, excuse me, Mr. Chair, my glasses aren't working. Be it resolved by the legislature of the state of Minnesota that urges the President of the United States and Congress of the United States to take all necessary measures to ensure that the last surviving Medal of Honor recipient from World War II be offered a state funeral, including but not limited to having the option to lie in state in the rotunda of the United States Capitol. And when Representative Lisgard and I had bills that were very similar, the biggest difference was that his bill omitted that language, and the bill that I had included it, and Representative Lisgard and I would very much like to have that in the bill. And with that, I'll turn it over to Representative Lisgard. If you want to act on the amendment, you can.
Any comments, Representative Lisgard? Any discussion on the amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The amendment's passed. And you have testifiers to the bill? Or do you want to speak to the bill first?
I'd like to speak to the bill, okay. And we have one testifier.
All right, Representative Lesligard, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is an honor to bring before you House File 826, a bill urging the President of the United States to hold a state funeral for the last surviving World War II Medal of Honor recipient. The intended purpose of this would be to honor all 16 million men and women of the military who served during the war, including 326,000 Minnesotans. Unfortunately, there is some urgency to this request. As of now, there are only four surviving Medal of Honor recipients from World War II, and the youngest of them is 92 years of age. As the sun sets on the greatest generation, we must make extra effort to salute those who stood against the greatest threat to freedom and democracy the world has yet to see. I ask that as representatives, you help not only our voices, but the voices of all Minnesotans in this endeavor. We'd be leading the nation in this initiative, and I can't think of a better way to maintain Minnesota's reputation as a leader. With that, I would like to offer Lee to come and say a few words, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely. Welcome to the committee, sir. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Yes, hi. I'm Lee Iggerstrom, and I'm one of the three state coordinators for what's become an ad hoc group across the nation trying to encourage states to do things like this. And but in my past, I was a journalist, and just sitting here listening to this, bringing back memories of my journalism days of listening to testimony. You know, back when you were a journalist, you could be pretty nonchalant about listening to session after session after session of committee meetings in the legislature and Congress. But you don't sit at my age and listen to the testimony we just heard on the two previous bills without realizing we still have heroes among us. And we heard from them today. And not all of them have served, but some of them served those who served. And so what this really does by honoring this last, what you're working on right now, honoring the last Medal of Honor recipient becomes a salute to all 16 million American men and women who served in World War II, but for all of their family members and all of their neighbors and all of their cousins and everybody else who sacrificed during that war effort. It becomes a salute to this greatest generation, as you referred, and it just gives us one more chance to remind the next and oncoming generations and what sacrifice and public service sometimes requires of us, and that each generation must be ready to stand up and serve those causes. So I really appreciate your considering this, and as the representative said, this can move Minnesota to sort of the front of the pack on the states who are doing efforts like this, and I'm a chauvinist enough Minnesotan to say that's what I want to see my state to be. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Engstrom. Any questions for the testifiers? Anybody from the audience care to speak for or against this bill? All right. Chair renews his motion that... Oh, any final comments, Representative Liz Garter Fabian?
No, thank you. Just I appreciate all your support.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the opportunity. I just want to say, you know, my dad was a part of the greatest generation, and so was my mother, of course, but he served in World War II, actually was in Tokyo Harbor when it was signed. Had been on the South Dakota, then got transferred to another ship at that time. I currently wear two buttons on my lapel. One is an Air Force Academy pin. My son Jason is a captain in the Air Force currently, and also my son Mark is a member of the Red Bull Unit, the 34th ID Headquarters Division that's currently serving in Kuwait. So this is an important thing. This is not a partisan issue. This is an issue that we need to bring forward to send this resolution to the President, and hopefully this comes to fruition in the future. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you, Representative Fabian and Liz Lagarde, for bringing this bill. Chair renews his motion that House File 826 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. Motion carries. You're on to the General Register. And Representative Fabian, my glasses don't always work either.
Yes.
Okay. Next up will be House File 810, Representative Heinrich. Uh-oh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I move that House File 810 be re-referred as the chair sees fit. Where's it going, Mr. Chair?
The bill be re-referred to the Committee on State Government Finance, Representative Heinrich.
Thank you, Mr. Please Chair. Proceed. Thank you, Chair Eklund, members of the committee, for hearing House File 810 today. House File 810 authorizes the replacement of the plaque that honors World War I veterans in the State Capitol Mall Court of Honor. The current plaque, which you should have a photo of.
We hold up for just a minute.
That's fine. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, I apologize for the interruption. Go ahead, please proceed.
That's okay. Thank you. House File 810 does authorize the replacement of the plaque that honors World War I veterans in the State Capitol Mall Court of Honor. The current plaque, which you should have a photo in your packets, this is dedicated to the 57,413 Minnesotans who served in World War I who served abroad. However, the plaque omits the 61,084 Minnesotans who served the war effort stateside. Ruben Rosario had a column in the Pioneer Press that chronicled David Thompson's quest to have the plaque replaced with one that honors his father who served stateside in World War I. You should also have a copy of this column in your packets as well. The bill requires the Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board to seek design submissions for a new plaque. Upon Department of Veterans Affairs approval of the design, the Capital Architectural Board selects one plaque that will replace the existing plaque. The group that submits the design must also furnish the plaque, so there is no cost to the state to do this. I would like to now introduce my testifier. If he's here, I had Mr. Paul Mandel, but I'm not sure if he found the committee room here. Not around. Okay. Well, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I thank you for hearing House File 810, and I ask for your support with this bill.
Thank you, Representative Heinrich, and I apologize to Mr. Mandel for the room change. There was something more pressing that they needed in the other committee room. So, yeah. Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for those that are on the committee that don't know Mr. Mandel, he's head of the director of the CAP board. Any type of an award or memorial on the Capitol grounds, he's in charge of that. And so he, but he definitely, is supportive of this. So,
is there any Representative Brand?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Heinrich, just out of curiosity, what will be the future for the plaque that's currently there?
Representative Heinrich.
That's a good question, Representative Brand. I'm not sure what will be done with the existing plaque when that's taken down. I don't know, maybe I could refer to I was going to ask Representative Detmer if he knew the answer to that question, but...
if nobody knows the answer, that's fine. What I would recommend is that perhaps we amend this or something of that nature down the road, saying that the plaque will go to the Historical Society or somebody that might want to have it.
Thank you, Representative Brandt. Mr. Chair, that might be a good question for I wish Mr. Mandel was able to be here. I'm sure the executive director of the Capitol Area, the CAP board, they must have this happen from time to time, and they probably have some plaques, but thank you for that.
Mr. Keller, you care to comment on that? Or okay. We'll continue discussing it then. Thank you, Representative Brand. Any other questions from the committee? Is there anybody in the audience care to testify for or against this bill? All right. Forgot where I'm at here now. Representative Heinrich, you care to renew your motion to House File 810 be recommended pass and be referred to the Committee on State Government Finance?
Yes, I do, Chair Eklund. If I can just make one final comment about the fact that I served overseas in Iraq, and I just wanted to mention that it is very important to recognize whenever we do have these overseas deployments, that there is stateside support here that is just as important as the tip of the spear, so to speak, overseas. So I'm feel honored to be a part of this committee, and Veterans Committee, and then also to have the opportunity to recognize the stateside veterans that served here stateside during World War One. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the committee.
Representative Heinrich, I could not agree with more. Most people don't realize how much, don't know how much the stateside support means to the folks that have, that are serving overseas. So I appreciate those comments. Okay, all in favor of moving this bill to the Committee on State Government Finance, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Representative Lesh.
Okay, I'm here.
Chair moves that House File 142 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Government Operations. Representative Lesh, please proceed with your testimony, and we have, I can't pronounce her your name, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Don't even try, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I'll let Representative Lesh pronounce the testifier.
Well, Ms. Chair, I did it last time, but I screwed it up a little bit.
Okay.
But I think I recall Major Famodu telling me it was Ayodele Famodu. Is that right, Major?
You're very close. Ayodele Famodu.
Okay.
I'll try to remember that, ma'am. Please proceed, Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I don't know if the committee is aware, but Major Famodu right now is deployed. Doing her duty as a member of Operation Spartan Shield in Kuwait. And when I worked at the St. Paul City Attorney's Office for 15 years as a prosecutor, and I was also a Minnesota National Guardsman, I received differential pay to the extent that my pay as a public employee was higher than what I would get as a deployed service member. The city of St. Paul offered the differential, the increment, so that when I was deployed, I didn't suffer, or my family didn't suffer stateside back home because of my service to our nation. And I knew that I could rely on that. So when I first went in, I went in as an E4 because I wanted to go through basic training, infantry basic training. And E4s get paid horrible. But I also wanted to benefit from the Minnesota National Guard loan forgiveness program, because taking off those loans was one way that I could afford the monthly payments to go do this. Well, I found out when I got into basic that you had to graduate basic first before they started paying on your loans, and I was sweating it for a little while there. This was back in, I think, 2008 or something, and it finally worked out. But there are still folks, and it's rare, Ms. Chair members, but when you're a junior officer, or let's say you're a field grade officer, like Major Famodu is now as a JAG officer, and you work for a metro area county attorney, such as Hennepin County or Ramsey County, they pay enough, and your family relies on that pay enough to the extent where the pay charts for whatever service, for 04, 03 or 04, have not made it up to what you get paid in your civilian job for, in this case, Ramsey County. So it was almost a year ago now that I talked to Major Famodu and some other folks who I know in the Ramsey County Attorney's Office, and she said, listen, I'm going to go up on a deployment for over a year, and I could lose my house on this thing. And so it was in April or May, that I started by writing a letter to the Ramsey County Board and saying, please take care of this. And then I tried to work with County Attorney John Choi, saying, can you please take care of this? We got a couple of soldiers who are going to be in dire straits because of their service to our country. Because Ramsey County was one county in the metro whereby deployed soldiers would really be affected by this. And so nothing happened. And I said, okay, fine, I'm going to drop a bill saying, for crying out loud, if people are going to serve our nation, as public employees, they ought to benefit from the same differential pay as anyone else. So with that, if I may, Mr. Chair, it's got to be, what, like zero dark 30 over there, Major Famodu? We're 9 hours.
It's about after midnight.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We appreciate you staying up for this. But if I could have Major Famodu tell her story for us, Mr. Chair.
Please proceed, Major. Identify yourself for the record, and thank you for your service.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, as of October 1st, I was Major Famodu, Iodele. This is the first name, A-Y-O-D-E-L-E. Prior to October the 1st, I was Captain Iodele Famodu for several years. I previously served as a direct commissionee with the U.S. Army Reserve, joined in 2011, not for the benefit of the pay, but to serve my country in the way that I thought I could, which was to provide legal services to the men and women who are serving our country and to be able to help in that way. So I never got student loan repayment because it was way too late for me by then, because I had already been practicing law for almost 10 years at the time I joined. Now I've been practicing for about 18, almost 19 years. Essentially, I've spent almost 5 out of my 8 years of reserve service, because I transferred to the Guard in November of 2017. And I spent almost 5 of the 8 years of my reserve service on active duty. So essentially I went to basic training about 10 months, came home, settled for a little while, and then because of one of the specialties I offer in my service, I was called to serve on active duty for 165 days. Well, that turned into almost 3 years in the reserve side. I gave up my newly sort of job that I got at Hennepin County, thinking I'd be gone for 165 days, turned into almost 3 years, but what happened was they paid the differential. So I was able to maintain sort of a stability, an economic stability, in my marriage and with my new child at the time, even though I was gone for almost 3 years. When I returned off of that mobilization, I spent about 6 months before I transferred to Ramsey County as a prosecutor, just assuming wrongfully that the differential pay would still be in effect, given the county's proximity to Hennepin and some of the similarities. But little did I know, my first drill with the National Guard, we got our deployment warno indicating that we would be leaving. So I spent the better part of 2018 training up for the September 23, 2018 deployment here to Kuwait, and all the while gearing up for the deployment and worrying about making sure my family, now two kids and a husband and some siblings, were taken care of. I was extremely worried about the almost $30,000 to $40,000 I would be short on income for the full year of the deployment. And so not only do child care costs come to my mind, but mortgages, car payments, all the things that any other sort of normal person has to worry about, and worrying about where I would make up that $30,000 to $40,000. So I had to have my sister move in to help assist with the kids while I've been here. And it's just been a little bit of a struggle and a worry, and not only for me, but I talked to some soldiers here who are also Ramsey County employees who have the same sort of financial hardship that I do, maybe even worse for some of them. But when it came down to whether or not I decided to get on the deployment or not, I knew that we have only 4% of us Americans serving as of 31 January 2019. And I have a obligation to my service, to my country, to the friends, family, and loved ones, and all those that we serve for. And because I signed up several years ago to honor that service, I knew that that was more important than the financial piece of the puzzle. A call to duty is something that is very hard to explain to people who haven't served before, but it's something I hold in high esteem. And we do what we do in the Army, which is we just get it done. We do the thing that we're called to do. And so I'm here. I actually just got back from a mission about 45 minutes before I made this phone call. A very stressful mission, actually, to another part of the country over here. But I just got back. I feel like I did my service. I've been doing my service, honoring the Army values, respect, loyalty, duty, honor, service, integrity, and personal courage. And I'm just asking that, you know, my community, my government back home be able to provide that benefit in shortage of income so that I could rest more assured that my family and those I'm serving are taken care of. So that's all I have. Hopefully my remaining 5.5 months goes by quickly and safely here.
Thank you, Major. Is there anybody from the committee who would like to ask the Major any questions? Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the first, Major, thank you for your service. And maybe
thank you,
this is probably more for the author. This bill, how many people do you think this bill will apply to?
Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Detmer. My best guess is that I could probably count them on two hands, if not one. Not a lot of people. The reason for that is you have uniform pay scales, as I stated, and it's only recently that the differences in that pay from a public employee, you talk about how many public employees are paid as much as county attorney. County attorneys or prosecutors, assistant county attorneys are some of the highest paid folks, okay, and they have costs associated with that. So because of that, my guess is that I could count them on two hands.
Yeah. And Mr. Chair, maybe the Major could share with us, what is the, I don't have that pay scale in front of me, what is the pay scale for a Major now in the service?
Well, I guess it depends on the number of years. Mr. Chair, can I ask something? Representative Detmer, are you asking what Major Famadu makes? I guess it depends on, of course, years of service as well.
Currently, what the Major makes.
Okay.
Major? Well,
are you willing to answer that question, Major?
I make what a Major serving it's so it goes by years of service. So I make what a Major serving less than 8 years in my rank of 04 makes. I don't have the scale in front of me. I couldn't tell you what the base pay is. I would have to look it up.
Okay.
Representative Detmer.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Major. And to the author, does this bill a factor in the non-taxable, like housing, food allowance, pay differential, those types of benefits that we get when we're on active duty? Does it take in all the other benefits that we get when we're called up for active duty?
Ms. Chair and Representative Detmer, we drafted this to be consistent with all the other municipalities and local governments that offer this. And that's why we drafted this way. So no, it does not factor in BAH. And you know, one of the reasons for that, obviously, is BAH fluctuates so much. That's your other big chunk of change, right, is the BAH. So it does not factor that in.
Yeah.
Representative Dever.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know when I was deployed for 2 years, that was a big part of my income was the BAH, so that my family back home was taken care of in terms of that part, and also the insurance that you have while you're on active duty and some of those other benefits that we have when you're on active duty, and you're not taxed on that income also when you're on active duty. So those are just some questions that I had. So this bill does not take into effect those other parts of the income for one as two is deployed.
Representative Lesch.
Right, Mr. Chair and Representative Detmer, no, we wanted to make sure that, you know, the folks that are getting in Hennepin County, City of Minneapolis, City of St. Paul, some of these other local governments, we didn't necessarily want to penalize someone. We wanted them to have the same opportunities as those other soldiers did, and so that's why we drafted it this way. But, yes, you're accurate. It does not factor in the BAH.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Heinrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lesch, are there any exclusions for, like, somebody, like, say, I don't know, maybe the major does, but say you own a home-based business and you go on, you also work for the county, you go on active duty, and say your business nets a profit of $250,000 that year while you're gone because it's on automated. Is there an exclusion for somebody that might profit very well from, like, a home-based business or something that they own, but they are deployed, or would they still just get that differential?
No, Mr. Chair, Representative Heinrich. No, but if you know of a business like that that can net that much money while you're gone and on mission, I want to buy into that because that sounds like a pretty sweet deal. But no, these soldiers, you know, the amount of work that it takes to be an assistant county attorney, Representative Heinrich, is substantial, and your ability to, you know, I worked with a guy at the city who was his last name was Pew. You've heard of Pew Charitable Trust? Okay, this guy didn't need to work, okay? But he still worked, and he made the money. He was a good guy, and he was a good prosecutor. If you got some other source of income, no, it doesn't factor that in. But we're trying to be equitable, you know, across the board with soldiers here, or any service member. It's not just limited to soldiers.
Appreciate that. One follow-up, please, Mr. Chair. Just had one other one, Representative Lesch, and thank you for that clarification. Just wondering on 1.21, 1.22, it just says salary members would be paid as an active school district employee, including any adjustments the member would have received if not on a leave of absence. I might be wrong, but it just seems like it's kind of asking somebody to maybe try to guess at what the adjustment, maybe what's an example of an adjustment that might be made while somebody's gone that they should also account for in that differential.
So, Mr. Chairman, Representative Heinrich, so like a COLA, you know, cost of living increase, that part of their bargaining unit they would get as a portion of that. The bill says if the rest of your bargaining unit got that cost of living increase, that you were entitled to that as well.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Denver.
And just a quick one, Mr. Chair. Is okay. The bill just applies to counties. Why didn't you include like cities or private employers or so forth? In terms of, I know when I was deployed, a young soldier came in and I could tell that he was kind of depressed. And I asked, "What's going on?" He says, "Well, I just left home. I'm deployed. I'm an E4, and I own a construction company." And now my wife and I are trying to decide what to sell off to make things work. So, but you're just dealing with counties, sir. So.
That's right, Mr. Chair and Representative Detmer. The reason for that, well, number one, the reason why we did not include private sector is that's a whole new ball of wax. You know, we got the employer support of the Guard Reserve, where we try to make sure, you know, folks can come back and get their job afterwards. Local governments in Minnesota, a lot of them have made the decision to support our service members as public employees. Extending that to the private sector is a fight that I didn't want to take on, and I'm not even sure how we do that, making them, you know, pay for that kind of thing while they're gone. And to distinguish it to just counties rather than all local governments like municipalities, two reasons. Number one, municipalities face this in a different way than do counties because of the number of police and fire that they have. They work for municipalities, and that, quite frankly, are the biggest number of folks that benefit from this differential pay issue are police and fire. Now, counties don't face that
as much. So there's a smaller number. But the most important reason, the second reason, is that's not the problem I was trying to solve. I got wind of this problem that Ayodele Famodu had, and I wanted to solve that problem. I thought that it would be a – I thought it should be an easy fix. Come on, let's take care of someone in this situation. And I got some pushback. So I dropped the bill, and the bill I dropped was a scalpel, not a sledgehammer. So that's why it's limited.
Thank you, Representative Lesh. And I'll just comment, the private sector part, the company I worked for before I retired, we had it in our collective bargaining agreement that they would allow the time off and would not lose seniority or any of that. Their spot would be when they came back, but there was no differential pay from the private company, but they at least at least kept your seniority in your spot in the lineup. Yeah. So.
And, Detmer. Yeah, Mr. Chair, and the same thing when I was deployed, the school district, they allowed my job back when I came back. I know there are some big corporations there that do take an extra step for if there's a difference in pay. So, but it's kind of across the board, it's different.
Representative Grassel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lesh, is the county attorney salary or what are they? Are they by the hour or what are they?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Grassel, yes, they're all salary employees, all the assistant county attorneys.
So is there, well, thank you, Mr. Chair. So while she's deployed, is her salary suspended or what is it?
Mr. Chair and Representative Grassel, yes. You're essentially taking a leave of absence, a military leave of absence from the local unit of government. And there's a specific state statute in place for that as well. State statute authorizes a lot more protections for public employees when they are mobilized or deployed. I took advantage of that multiple times throughout my leaves. You got to get your job back. You get your job back when you come home. Like I said, it's a little bit different. I mean, state law sort of requires that for private sector employees as well, but it's more difficult to manage it.
Representative Grassel. Is there anybody in the, any other questions from the committee? Anybody in the, Representative Detmer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is anybody from the counties here?
Well, I'm going to make a note of that here in a minute, Representative Detmer. Anybody from the audience care to testify for or against this bill?
I guess I would have one more question.
Representative Grassel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you're making this specific to this one county, or how would this affect Clearwater County, it's where I'm from. That's they're very low as far as income per capita. So, you know, how would that hit them?
Representative Lesh.
Mr. Chair and Representative Grassel, yes, and they don't pay their attorneys that much, and so you know, this is why it would affect so few folks. We're at the point where Hennepin and Ramsey County pay enough whereby if you're, like I said, a junior officer, you're an 03, you're an 04, I don't know about 05, it's that donut hole that you're sitting in where if you deploy, your military pay scale has not caught up with your civilian pay scale. Other folks, you start making more because, you know, once you're 05, you've also got the years in. You get those bumps for years in as well on that chart. And I will tell you that a JAG attorney that deploys from Clearwater County, they're making a sacrifice for their country, but they're also probably getting a pay bump to deploy in almost every situation with very few exceptions. One of those exceptions is where Major Famodu finds herself. That's why I'm trying to fix it. And yes, it would apply to all, but its applicability is pretty much limited.
Any other questions from the committee? So in your packets, it wasn't in the bill packet itself, the policy analyst for the Association of Minnesota Counties has a list of things, concerns that AMC has with this, and he has talked with me as well as Representative Lesh. He can't be here today because they're out in Washington, D.C. for the National Association of County Organizations, so he asked to have this included. The only reason it wasn't in the actual bill packet for this bill is because he's talking about a couple of bills in there, so we didn't think it was right to have it in one. So you guys can take, the committee members can take a look at that at your leisure or right now if you want to. Any other comments on this bill? Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just one last question for the major. Does your BAH, does it cover your mortgage here back home?
Not quite, sir. There's a slight shortage in the mortgage. Essentially, I'll tell you, the promotion made up some of the money, but not quite all of it. I'm still probably around 30,000 short.
Okay, thank you.
And that members, you know, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would note that BAH is calculated off your zip code. And, you know, if you happen to be in one of those situations where you live in a zip code that is not that wealthy, your BAH is going to be low. And if you're a breadwinner for your family, like Major Famodu is, that further exacerbates the donut hole. I found that out when I had my zip code, you know, when I was mobilized trying to get that BAH, it was kind of a pain in the neck. So just wanted to point that out.
And just to add, my husband actually just got a hold of me today looking to refi because he says that the rates have now dropped again somewhere around the 4%. So we're hoping that that'll help us out because essentially BAH only covers about half of our mortgage.
Thank you, Major. Any other questions or comments from the committee? Any final word, Representative Lesh?
It's a matter of equity. It's a matter of justice, Mr. Chair and members. There are plenty of, a lot of municipalities, local governments that have seen the light to do right by our deployed service members. And the idea that Major Famodu has to refi her house because she's serving her country offends my sensibilities. I hope we can get this done. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lesh. And Major, thank you again. Thank you for your service, and thank you for being on the call today.
Thank you, sir.
The chair renews his motion that House File 142 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Government Operations. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Mr. Chair, would you like to move your bill?
I would like to move my bill, Mr. Chair.
All right, Ms.
House File 1189. I don't have my cheat sheet in front of me, so I forgot where it's going.
The chair moves that House File 1189 be laid over for possible inclusion in a later finance bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the background on this bill, CORE is currently funded at $500,000 per year for nearly the last 10 years. And the 2019 request is an additional $250,000 per year added to the base for a total of $1.5 million per biennium. This is included in the governor's budget proposal on page 14. Many Minnesota veterans and their families experience challenges as they navigate various aspects of life, from reintegration and managing finances to building a support network and addressing mental health or substance use concerns. The legislature requested that the MDVA conducts a Minnesota Veterans Behavioral Health Needs Assessment. This was completed in January 2017 by the Wilder Foundation. It's no surprise that the report found that there are statewide shortages in behavioral health providers, and this shortage is most acutely felt in greater Minnesota. Many of those operating in an area were often at or near capacity. Veterans in greater Minnesota were even more likely to report that services available weren't a good fit for veterans-specific issues and their unique needs. Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota has been filling the gap in services for veterans in 87 Minnesota counties for almost a decade. With me today to talk about the CORE program is Trevor Johnson, Senior Director of Behavior Health Services at Lutheran Social Services of Minnesota.
Now, testify, please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Trevor Johnson. I'm the Senior Director of Behavioral Health Services at Lutheran Social Service of Minnesota. This is my first time doing this, so bear with me. I've got everything written down. So for over 150 years, LSS has been providing services to people with disabilities, older adults, children, youth, and families. More than 2,300 LSS employees and volunteers provide services in 300 different communities statewide and in all 87 counties. In 2017, LSS served over 17,000 veterans across these services, and we hope to continue expanding our capacity to meet the needs of veterans and their families. Our behavioral health programs include a variety of services to promote mental health and well-being for individuals and families. Including in these services is our CORE program. CORE stands for Casework, Outreach, Referral, and Education. And we've been partnering with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs for the last 10 years to provide this service to veterans and their families across the state. I would like to thank Chair Eklund, Representatives Detmer, Purcell, Brand, Beckerfin, and Heinrich for authoring this bill, which would increase the availability of services for veterans and their families. In addition, I would like to thank the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs for their partnership over the last decade and to the Governor and MDVA for including increased funding for CORE in the Governor's budget proposal. CORE is a program funded through a grant from the MDVA. LSS has been the recipient of this grant through a series of requests for a proposal since the program was initiated in 2008, with the most recent RFP process occurring just this last year. Through CORE, we provide casework, mental health services, financial counseling, and other supports at no cost to the veteran and their family. The intent of CORE is to provide services for veterans and their families in areas where services are not available, such as parts of Greater Minnesota, and for veterans and their families who may not otherwise access services and are in need of a support and assistance. We approach the work of CORE as a service to fill gaps and bridge connections to the resources and services that are available. The majority of veterans are referred to CORE services by a county veteran service officer. While referral through a CVSO is not required and veterans can self-refer to the CORE program, engagement with a CVSO can greatly expedite the eligibility determination process and assist in connecting them with the additional resources. When a referral comes through, each veteran is connected with a local CORE coordinator who assists in determining eligibility by reviewing status as a veteran, by accessing and reviewing discharge paperwork, DD-214, and confirming their residence in Minnesota. From there, the CORE coordinator works with the veteran and their family to assess overall needs and risks, promote a connection to resources and services based on those needs and risks. This may include such things as developing a debt management plan with a financial counselor as they pursue a one-time special needs grant, being connected with appropriate mental health services after being screened for risk of suicide, or being connected with housing resources if they're experiencing housing instability or homelessness. I've got a couple examples. As an example, I've shared with some of you the story about a veteran and their family who recently reached out to LSS after connecting through a CVSO. After a couple of unexpected costs, including a car repair and medical bills from an ER visit, they found themselves seeking an advance on their pay to cover overdue expenses and bills. Within a short time, they had become stuck in a cycle of taking high-interest short-term loans and were now at risk of losing their truck and their home. The stress of the situation led to significant arguments and discord in their marriage, and their children were impacted as well. By connecting with CORE, they've been set up with a financial counselor who's working with them to consolidate their debt, and with a mental health professional who's working with them to manage stress and address the building tension in their marriage. Another example is Jason, who's agreed to have his name shared. Jason served in the Marines for 8 years patrolling the Pacific Rim. His return to civilian life was rough, and after being laid off from a well-paying job, things did not seem to be able to turn around. He found another job, but the pay was not enough to cover the bills. He found himself feeling increasingly anxious and depressed. He stopped taking care of himself, stopped answering the phone, and one day found himself with a shotgun in his mouth sitting at his computer. As he sat there, a message came in from a friend who had been working for a long time to come back from a life-threatening illness. And it was that message that caused Jason to realize that he needed someone to step in and help him. His fiance encouraged him to get help, and he contacted LSS. I'm happy to say that through the CORE program, Jason was connected with an LSS mental health counselor who is a veteran herself. Through the accountability and support that came from the mental health services, Jason found himself re-engaging with his education, making plans with his fiance for their wedding, and following through on his goal of going into law enforcement. Through CORE, we continue to connect with veterans across the state, and we've worked closely with the MDVA to allow accountability and oversight of the program. We report monthly on the number of veterans served, demographics, county of residence for the veterans served, and a breakdown of the services provided. In addition, we conduct a quarterly survey of the veterans served as part of a continuing improvement initiative. In 2018, we reached 822 veterans in 70 of 87 counties, and 98% of veterans reported satisfaction with CORE services. In the last 4 years, the number of veterans served has increased nearly 70%. With the increase in referrals and veterans served, the cost of services has exceeded the grant amount in the last 3 years, or in each of the last 3 years. The MDVA has been a great partner in helping to identify additional funds to support programming in each of these 3 years. Last year, we reached a port at the end of the, or a point at the end of the fiscal year where LSS did cover the cost of the service for the last month just to continue the program. We take many steps to capture reimbursement from third-party payers. A lot of our services are reimbursable through that, including health insurance when services are covered. And we have found other ways to provide services for more veterans using the funds available, including trying to trim down and provide more telephone contacts versus face-to-face contacts when that works, just to cut down on travel expenses. Additional funds as proposed in this bill will allow us to meet the increased demand for services, meet and engage more veterans in their homes and in their communities, and limit the risk of setting limits on services received, such as limiting mental health counseling visits. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you again for the opportunity to share these stories and information about CORE with you today. And it's an honor to serve the Minnesota veterans, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Representative.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Mr. Chair, and to the testifier, well done. You answered a lot of the questions right through your testimony. And 822 veterans just past year.
Past year, yep.
And now we're looking at a 70% increase, you're seeing. And how quickly can this money get to the veteran with their need, when they make their connection with the county service officer? How quickly can they get that assistance?
Just the fire.
Mr. Chair, Representative, so when the call comes in, our hope is to connect them with someone within 2 business days to make that connection and to get things started. Sometimes it does depend on if the CVSO is involved or not, and if we can get a copy of that DD-214. Just to ensure eligibility for the program. So that's the only delay at times is from that. Otherwise, we can usually get an appointment with a mental health counselor within 2 to 4 business days. If there's an urgent need, we can expedite that and get them connected faster than that. Yeah. And then financial counseling is a similar turnaround.
Yeah. And Mr. Chair, just follow up. The money goes through this legislation, the money goes to the MDVA, and they have overwatch, they have over, who writes out the checks to the veterans? Who actually does that?
Mr. Chair, Representative, great question. So there's no money that goes directly to the veteran themselves. So the services are billed to the MDVA by LSS and reimbursed in that way. And so there's no cost, the veteran receives no bills for the service, things are just taken care of. On that side of things.
Okay. Representative Hemmer.
Thank you.
Representative Heinrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One more question kind of about the funding mechanism of the appropriation of $1.5 million from the general fund. Approximately what, is there a percentage of that stays with MDVA and another portion of that, I'm guessing the lion's share, goes to Lutheran Social Services for the CORE program?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I wouldn't be able to speak to a percentage there. There are some materials, marketing pieces, things like that, and I don't know where the. I know in past years it has all gone through to the services. and that's when we've hit the cap.
Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Yeah, Chair Eklund.
Well, I think thanks for the question, Representative Heinrich. I think you probably heard in the testimony part of the reason why we're seeking an increase is that Lutheran Social Services paid the last month or so out of their funds because it had run short the last time. So that's part of the reason we're asking for the increase for the counseling.
Representative Heinrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Is there any more questions, members? Anyone else in the audience who would like to testify? All right, Mr. Chair, would you like to renew your motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll renew my motion that House File 1189 be laid over for possible inclusion in this bill.
All right. And then
No motion.
All right, well, then, adjourn.
Nice job.
All right, we're done. We're adjourned.